Well, last week we kicked off a new series called That Girl. At the end, Pastor Carson reminded all sisters, especially sisters, that you don't need to be that girl. You already are. You are chosen, you are holy, and in love as well. Well, indeed, growing up as a young woman in 2025 is not easy, right?
Agree.
We strive to be that girl. Perfect routine, perfect body, perfect career. Because deep down, we believe that if we are perfect enough, we will finally be chosen. We all carry an anxiety that says something is missing.
Missing unless I am cherished by another person.
In Tom Cruise, an early classic called Jerry Maguire, I don't know whether this is old movie for most of us, but there's a point at the end, so I struggle, but I think I'll put it here. In this early classic, at least you know Tom Hanks, right? There was a memorable closing scene. Jerry, which is played by Tom, bursts into a woman support group meeting where Dorothy is part of the group. Jerry was determined to win Dorothy back after pushing her away. And nervous, but sincere, he tells Dorothy that every meaningful moment in his life seemed unfinished without her presence. And Jerry confessed that how lost he has been since the breakup. Well, you can, you can add all the details. And he finally understands what truly matters.
Then, with overwhelming emotion,
he uttered the iconic words, "You complete me. You complete me." I don't know where has anyone seen that movie? Oh, maybe one. Well, society, movies, and our culture always or often implies that a serious, committed relationship is the ultimate source of happiness, stability, and fulfillment. "You complete me," this word, this line echoes the story our culture loves to tell us. Happiness is a puzzle, and romance is a final missing piece. On the flip side, we're also told that being single is a deficiency. Being single is a deficiency, right? No matter how smart or capable a woman is, her life is portrayed as incomplete without a relationship. Unless we meet this special someone, our joy, our satisfaction, and sense of wholeness seems forever out of reach. Finding Mr. Right is packaged as the final piece of puzzle, the answer to all our internal struggles. And before that person arrives, we are left waiting, helplessly. And besides waiting, we bring our complaints to God as well. We question God. Isn't it just normal for a woman to long for a lifelong partner, to live with joy, to feel fulfilled and cared for? We question God. Didn't you create man and woman for marriage? Isn't it reasonable to long for love? Of course, the desire to be cherished, the desire for a partner is natural. But Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch Christian who was renowned for her testimony of faith and forgiveness, once said, "Marriage is not the answer to unhappiness. Marriage is not the answer to unhappiness." Her words confront a harsh reality. Marriage does not solve the problem. We've seen the statistic. We've witnessed broken marriages. If marriage guaranteed joy, divorce rate won't exist, and every married person would be blissful. Well, after seeing all these, we seem to be trapped and left with only two options. Option one, either we remain single and feel the ache of loneliness, or we get married and feel the ache of discontent and also the burden of expectation. If marriage is not, if not the answer to unhappiness, if a ring, a vow, or a better half
cannot heal the deepest loneliness of the soul.
Our question tonight is, then what else can we do? And to whom shall we turn? Dear sisters, let me share a simple yet profound truth to you today. Among all the men in the universe, there's only one man who will never, ever let you down. His name, Jesus Christ. In the letter of Philippians, the Apostle Paul also described a very unique connection. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But whatever gain I had, Paul said, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Or take a look at how these verses are translated in the Message translation. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. I've dealt it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. According to Paul, the things he once considered essential, money, career, marriage, cannot compare to the satisfaction of knowing and embracing Christ. There's nothing greater, nothing more precious than to know Jesus. And Paul is willing, is going to throw everything away for one purpose, to gain Christ and be embraced by him. The reason for this radical shift is the surpassing value of knowing Jesus, the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. And if we connect this important teaching to today's topic, then we can apply that.
Marriage is not the answer to loneliness. It is not the answer for security. Marriage is not the answer to life meaning. It is not the answer to the satisfaction of our soul. Marriage is not the answer you need. Jesus Christ is. Instead of sitting in the waiting room of life longing for a better half, instead of rushing in to marry someone merely decent, only to discover that marriage never answered the questions we hoped it would, we need to pause. And often, the reality is the opposite. Marriage can intensify our loneliness, add to our confusion, and magnify our discontent and disappointment. And rather than going down that path, Perhaps it's better to ask ourselves, how can we use this season of singleness to see and know Jesus more deeply? How can we use this season of singleness to cultivate the intimacy with him, clinging to him, following him, cherishing him, relying on him, and in doing so, truly gaining him? If we take a deeper look at the context in which Paul wrote the letter to Philippians, we would notice that actually Paul was in prison. The apostle was in a season of struggle, the most miserable, the most lacking, the most uncertain, the most insecure. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, which is a little bit after the passage that we just read, Paul wrote, I rejoice in the Lord greatly.
Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Paul told us that he has learned the secret. So, what is Paul's secret? The apostle said he learned the secret of being content in any situation. This contentment is independent of any external circumstances, whether living in plenty or in want. And the key word is the phrase, in the Lord. In the Lord, in Christ. The foundation of this discontentment is an abiding joy in the Lord. Our joy is rooted in our Master, not our marital status or bank account. And once our life is anchored in Jesus, we can then experience joy, peace, satisfaction, security, no matter what situation we my face.
And even though we don't know how long our season of singleness will last,
rather than waiting indefinitely for an unknown outcome, why don't we focus on knowing, engaging with, and relying on the one man who is always, always faithful? Being single actually is the best time you can fully focus on following Jesus. Agree? Then why don't we embrace this unique chapter of life and learn to love this man called Jesus? If we anchor our relationship with Jesus while we are still single, we're actually far better, I'm sure. We are far better prepared to enter into marriage later. And because we no longer rely on our partner to provide what only Jesus would give. So here, Paul declared, for Jesus' sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as a rubbish so that I may gain Christ. But the amazing truth is that when we gain Christ, we actually do not suffer the loss of all things. And instead of suffering from a loss, all things are actually renewed by Jesus. And when Jesus became our Master, he renewed our personality, he renewed our relationship, he even would renew our marriages. When we talk about being single, it is the best time you can fully focus in following Jesus. Let me share with you the story of a life that walked through singleness, yet was led by Jesus into new horizons and also became a living testimony of his miraculous work. Her name is Lydia. When Lydia was 35, she was still unmarried.
She came from a wealthy family, working as a teacher in Denmark. So it's not Canada. The story is the lady in Denmark
and had recently became engaged to a man. From the outside, her life seems perfect. Yet inside, she felt a deep, deep emptiness.
And in that state of discontent, dissatisfaction, she began seeking God. Every evening, Lydia would pick up a dusty Bible, sip her coffee, and then also smoke sometimes, and immerse herself in the scripture, everything kind of mixed together. The more she read, the more she realized that she had to surrender her life to Jesus. Thank God. From that moment, she quit smoking, she quit drinking, and redirected her former ambitions for worldly success towards serving others. Her longing for marriage was replaced by a deep desire to know Jesus more intimately. Lydia understood clearly that
The emptiness in her heart could not be filled by wealth, reputation, status, or even love. And with firm resolve, she broke off her engagement. She quit her job and donated all her savings to an orphanage in Africa. Then she prayed earnestly to God for God's guidance about her next step. And in that process of letting go of everything, the hardest part of Lydia was giving up on marriage. She knew she was no longer young. How old was she? 35, right? The window to begin a family was closing fast. Yet, God appeared to call her to a life of complete surrender, trusting that He would provide and satisfy her every need, even without a partner by her side.
At the age of 38, God called her to serve as a missionary in Jerusalem. Interesting. Not Africa, but Jerusalem. With just 200 British pounds in her pocket, no church support, no mission organization backing her, she went. She rented a tiny basement in Jerusalem and continued to seek God's guidance. One day,
someone knocked on her door, a man holding a sick infant, saying, "Oh, we cannot care for her anymore. She's dying. Can you help?" Lydia, no choice.
She placed the baby on the bed in her cold basement. All she could do was to call on God. That night, she feared the child would not survive.
Yet by the morning, the baby had not only lived, the baby was full of life and thriving as well. God has answered her prayer. This incident marked the beginning of Lydia's ministry in Jerusalem. The child became her daughter, and she began caring for the sick, the abandoned, the dying, and the oppressed in Jerusalem. And over the years, God brought more children to her door. She became a mother to 10 children, not by her own strength, but by God's provision. Lydia never thought of marrying again. Well, honestly, Jerusalem at the time offered little hope for a single woman seeking an ideal husband. Still, she knew God had called her to be there in Jerusalem.
And without a husband, God became her provider
and gave her countless precious children. As the Apostle Paul said, in what the world sees as the greatest lack, Lydia experienced joy, fulfillment, and a life full of meaning. Well, the story didn't stop here. Then one day, a scholar from England, originally studying philosophy and literature, was sent to Jerusalem because of World War II. So you know that the story was not in this generation, but a while ago, Second World War. His name was Derek. He met Lydia and was amazed at her life. And Derek later recalled, well, Derek said, "I graduated from Cambridge and spent 6 years doing research at the university. But when I first met Lydia, I stood
in front of that storehouse and looked at this woman from Denmark.
That house was filled with Jewish and also Arab children. And those children affectionately call her Imma, I-M-M-A, which is the Hebrew word for mother.
It was like being transported into a new realm of learning for me," Derek recalled. "In that house, I encountered the Holy Spirit, but not the one I studied academically
in the Bible documents. I experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit in my living reality. I witnessed Lydia arranging empty plates on the dining table when there was not a single scrap of food. But when everyone sat down to eat, God provided the food. I have seen Lydia rebuking the fever in sick children, and the fever would leave them. And through reading the Bible, I witnessed how the Holy Spirit guided her and strengthened her every day." And Lydia once told Derek that the Gospel of John actually was God's love letter to her. That's really sweet. Of course, the story didn't just stop here. And you can imagine what's next. Eventually, Lydia and Derek got married in Jerusalem. A life, a living testimony of his provision.
Well, this may
well illustrate the truth of Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, where we gain Christ and give up everything for his sake. We, in fact, lose nothing at all.
Instead, Jesus renewed and transformed everything. For Lydia, God transformed
her character, her vocation.
And through Lydia, God also
brings transformation to many underprivileged people in Jerusalem. And of course, through Lydia, God also transformed the life of Derek Prince, a well-known international Bible teacher, and also the co-author of the book. If you want the interest, you can look for it, The Appointment in Jerusalem. Well, after listening to Lydia's story, perhaps some of us might be asking, Lydia surrendered and God gave her a husband. If I surrender, will God give me a husband too? Wait. This is not the moral of this story. Lydia actually was complete even before Derek ever showed up. Had Derek never arrived, this story might change. But we believe that Lydia would still have finished her life as a full, joyful, and wholly complete woman of God. Derek was not the reward of her surrender. Jesus Christ was already the reward. Well, church, there's nothing greater, nothing more precious than to know Christ Jesus. Let's really make good use of the season of singleness to know Jesus more deeply and allow him to transform and lead us. When Jesus becomes the supreme treasure of our lives, we become far more prepared for marriage. And genuine joy does not depend on whether you have a man or not in your life. What matters is whether we have Jesus, whether he is the most important person in our life. Well, marriage is not the answer to unhappiness. Jesus is the real joy giver. Marriage is not the answer to unhappiness. Jesus is the real joy giver. True and lasting joy is found through a relationship with Jesus. Whether you are single or married, the crucial question for us this evening is, who truly holds the highest place in your life? Who holds the center of your heart's devotion? When we truly know Christ and are willing to surrender everything for his sake, God renews
all things through our life.
He is the only one who can make our life truly complete. Jesus is the real joy giver. Well, before we sing the response song tonight, I would like to spend a little bit more quiet time in prayer for all of us. Let's really practice praying to Jesus, the real joy giver. Imagine with me, at the end of a long, long day, a long, dark night as well, when you come, before you go to bed, you offer the following prayer to God.
In the moment, sisters, if you are able, in the moment, I will ask you, I will invite you to kneel down to say this prayer as your commitment to God. But before that, let me go through the prayer with you once. Okay? So I have three slides here. The prayer is, Lord Jesus, the day is done. I confess that today I look for worth in mirrors, phones, and the approval of others. By your grace, I declare that I am already complete. I am not a half-empty cup begging for a refill. You are the bridegroom who knows me. You are the treasure that holds me. You are the joy I crave. So now I rest fully known and fully satisfied in you. Amen. So let me invite the sisters, if you are able, please knee down. And let's recite the prayer slowly, together. Lord Jesus, the day is done. I confess that today I look for worth in mirrors, phone, and the approval of others. By your grace, I declare that I am already complete. I am not a half-empty cup begging for a refill. You are the bridegroom who knows me. You are the treasure that holds me. You are the joy I crave. So Lord, I rest now, fully known and fully satisfied in you. Rest down, fully known, and fully satisfied in you.